I am the person my dog thinks I am. How about that? I am the person my dog thinks I am. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Sometimes I make mistakes as I put the statements on the internet. Sometimes I call them Thought for Today when they're instant inspiration. And sometimes I call them instant inspiration when they're the thought for today. And sometimes I reverse things like I did in the lesson where I said, I know a man is wise by his answers. And that's not the answer. I know a man is clever from his answers, and I know a man is wise by his questions. So I have to be a little more careful when I put these things on the internet so that I can do it correctly. It was not, I know a man is wise by his answers. It is, I know a man is wise by his questions. And that's what the information of the article was. So I'm sure you all got that. But I just want to tell you that because we do so many thousands of things here on the campus, we sometimes make mistakes. And every time we make a mistake, we say, hallelujah! One less mistake for me to make another time. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to thoughtfully, carefully, wonderfully do things. And so I say to you, I am the person my dog thinks I am. Now, does my dog come to me when I call him? Sometimes. Does my dog sit when I tell him to sit? Sometimes. Does my dog roll over when I tell him to roll over? Sometimes. Does my dog beg when I tell him to beg? Arf, arf, arf. Sometimes. I don't teach my dog to beg. And I don't teach my dog to roll over. In fact, I don't teach my dog to do much. But what I do teach my dog is to be loving. Always to be loving and gentle. But I've been away from him now for a little while. And he's been raised in another another garden. And being raised in this other garden, his caretakers have not been too careful of him. And lo and behold, he is learning how to chase rabbits. And he's learning how to chase squirrels. He's learning how to chase everything and be very boisterous about it, you know. And so I told his caretakers to cool it. Don't do that. Your dog has one purpose in life. And that purpose is to be your pet, to be your personal one-on-one pet, not to go around loving everybody, even though we think that's so wonderful when the dog loves everybody, not to go around acting like he owns the world and tries to tell everybody how to act and the rabbits and squirrels what to do and things like that. Our dog is to be love and pure love. And to be loved starting with us. And our dog is to be our thought. So when we think thoughts of love, the dog thinks thoughts of love. When we think thoughts of unhappiness, the dog thinks thoughts of unhappiness. When we think thoughts, like I was telling a few moments ago, when Gus would walk the path with me, sometimes the little schnauzer would run into the bushes. And he'd be checking around on the 200 acres that we had there. And thinking that was just wonderful. And then I would think in my mind, where are you, Gus? Come on. And he'd come running out 200 or 300 yards ahead of me, and I'd see him there, and he'd look at me. I'd say, okay. And then he'd go back in the bush. He came out and reported for duty, and then he went back to play. But he was there according to my thought. And all animals can be there according to your thought. Heinz is familiar with the horse whisperer, right? And what does the horse whisperer do? He whispers to the horses. Now, what does a horseback rider do? Does a horseback rider say, turn left, turn right, to his horse? Or does he turn the steering wheel to the right or to the left? I guess it's called a bridle and a halter and stuff like that. Does he turn it to the, pull the right or the left to make the horse go right or left? Or does he touch a knee to the shoulder And one knee to the shoulder makes the horse go the opposite direction. The other knee to the shoulder makes it again go the other opposite direction. Now, what is that? And then what about the man who rides on his horse, or the woman who rides on her horse and just thinks the thoughts? And she says, okay, let's canter. And she positions herself in a canter position. And then the horse starts to canter. And she says, okay, let's trot. You know, and then she puts herself in the trot position, and the horse trots. She doesn't say a word to the horse, except mentally. And then she says, all right, we're in the race now. We're in the chase. Put all the coals to it, and let's move it. And then she bends forward and flows with the horse, and the horse just flows. Now, does this happen? This is the way Peggy Carter rides her horses. She is a rather excellent horsewoman, and when she rides her horses, they just move according to her feeling. Peggy holds a crop, but mainly to chase away the flies, and she doesn't use her crop to hit the horse. She may touch the horse at different places for purposes, but never hit. And the horse and Peggy are one. She took me for a ride one time up in Minneapolis to the Fox and Hounds and that sort of junk, and we had a lot of fun. But just before we went for that ride, she got on the horse and said, come on, Herb, you want to ride? Sure. So I got on, and she rode ahead of me, so she didn't see me. She didn't see me hanging on for dear life, because that horse jumped over fences and leaped over bushes and ran around corners and chased after her. But she was just like a queen sitting on a throne riding on her horse, and I was like, what would you say, something holding on for dear life. But it was wonderful. It was wonderful, because after that I decided I'm going to get some lessons. So I got some lessons and things improved. But it didn't really improve. The first ride was a memorable ride and a wonderful ride, and it wasn't a fearful ride. I wasn't afraid. I just wanted to stay with the horse and go wherever it went, you know. And we did. But we had a great time. Now, I am the person my dog thinks I am. I am the person my horse thinks I am. I'm the person my wife or husband thinks I am. I'm the person that my world thinks I am. Now, what does your world think you are? Now, let's just move on a little further. I am the person my body thinks I am. I am the person my body thinks I am. I've used the illustration of Dorian Gray. Dorian Gray is a fictional story, although I'm sure it's probably quite real. It's about this very, 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 very handsome young man. Tremendous build, just delightful. The girls loved him and the world loved him. He was and he had lots of money. He was just a very wonderful man. But he began acting as though he could control other people with his money and go around taking advantage of women and doing things that he shouldn't do. And he had a beautiful portrait painted of himself, and he hung it over the fireplace. And each day when he came home, he'd admire the portrait, and he said, aren't I good, you know. And one day, he noticed there are some, boils and things coming up on his face and his hands and so forth, and it looked terrible. And he thought to himself, what is this? What is this? And as he looked, the body was, you know, not very pleasant. And so he took the portrait and stuck it in the closet where he wouldn't see it. And time went on, and he became very full of debauchery and very, very unpleasant fellow, but yet the most handsome, debonair, beautiful-looking guy in the world. And then he opened the closet door, and he saw this terrible painting oozing with, you know, ugliness. And he was so distressed to see that, he went to the kitchen and got a butcher knife and started chopping the painting to pieces. And the painting returned to its normal, beautiful painting of a young man, and he changed to this ugly creature that whose features had been put onto the painting. And, of course, he had killed himself. But we do this to ourselves. We do this to ourselves. We think we can violate the principles that we know are important to maintain, and we get ourselves into trouble. Are we the type of person our dog thinks we are? I'm the person my dog thinks I am. Are you the type of person that your family think you are, that your world thinks you are? You look at each one of us here at the table, healthy, dynamic, powerful beings, beautiful bodies, beautiful minds, beautiful attitudes about ourselves, lovely charisma. We're just the epitome of perfection of humanity, okay?
Mm-hmm. I accept.
Thank you. Now, we're the epitome of the beauty of humanity. However, from time to time, we stub our toe. And when we stub our toe, because we don't need to stub our toe either, but from time to time, we stub our toe, then we forget. And we say, ow, instead of, I'm whole and perfect. From time to time, we make a mistake in our thinking, and that tears down the fabric of our entire attitude about ourselves. We say, oh, I can never do this. I don't know how to do this. I'll never figure this out. There's no way out of this. And we're trying to be sorry for ourselves. And in the process of being sorry for ourselves, we're using words. We're using concepts. And we're empowering a concept to be our reality. And that concept is that we cannot do something. Now, ugliness, disease, it's contagious. That's a good word for it. It's contagious. And you say, I can't read this writing. And you can't. Pretty soon you say, I can't understand what's being said here. Pretty soon you can't. And you say, I feel sick. Pretty soon you are. You see, we empower those things which are not our nature by giving them this very subtle but very powerful attitude. And then we cannot see. We lose our vision. You say, wow, what's going on here? And then we cannot feel. We cannot, our sensitivity is gone. We cannot have that knowledge inside of us that gives us confidence that we know. I say to anybody, what's the capital of Jonesville, you know? And you say, oh, Jonesville, you know? And so I say, smart girl. But the point is, you say, Jonesville where? In what state? In what county? In what world, you know? And you see, you're not thinking. You're not thinking. Madison is the capital of Wisconsin. And I say to you, Madison is the capital of Wisconsin, and it's a capital city in which the university is and all these other things, and the government dwells there. And I was raised in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and at Eagle Springs Lake in the summertime, and things like that. And by the way, what's the capital of Wisconsin?
Madison.
Where did you get that idea? Where did you get that idea, you know? But you see, when you just... I don't know. You think I know everything? You think I know the capitals of all these states, especially in the United States here? You ask me the Canton capitals, and I could tell you that, but I don't know this. See, you did know. I told you. We are always told. We always have all information readily before us just before we need to use it. But we are so reluctant to say that and know that's true that we do not open ourselves up to the understanding of it. What's your name, little boy?
I don't know.
Who's your mommy and daddy?
I don't know.
Hey, your mother just bought you a new bicycle. Let's go to your house and see it. Yes, I go down the street and down the street. And all of a sudden, he knows all about it. He knows all. Now, what's the number of the house? 1318. You know, what street? Jonesville. You know? And so, he knows. But he pretends. He doesn't know. And you, as the idiot that you are, you accept him pretending he doesn't know as the reality. But he knows all things. You know all things. You didn't even have to ask him. You knew where it was. But you felt you wanted to ask him. You felt you wanted to put that cause in motion. And you felt you wanted to limit yourself. We have the opportunity to be the person our dog thinks we are. Now, I'm going to ask this question, and there's only one answer. And who can come up with the answer? Who does our dog think we are?
What I think I am.
Who does our dog think we are? God.
Okay.
We said that the other day, remember? Who does a cat think that we are?
God.
No. No, the cat is God. Don't you remember that? I mean, my goodness sakes, here I give you all these wonderful clues. I give you all these wonderful little stories and so forth. And all you do is just say, I don't remember. Oh, shame on you. For goodness sakes, here we are right in the middle of having a wonderful time and you forget. Now, if I say, who are you, Ellen?
I'm God.
That's very nice. And who is Button?
God.
That's nice. And why is Button God?
Because all is God.
Because all is God. And all is all of God.
Sure.
So Button has as much of God in him as you have in you.
Right.
And Button could use that allness to do anything you can do. Why does Button choose to be a laid-back puppy dog?
Because I create him like this.
All right. Doesn't he have anything to say about it?
No. Because I create him again like this.
No. You're trying to say, if he had something to do about that, I'd have to create him again like that. No. What is the dog's attitude about his life?
Whatever my attitude.
Whatever your attitude is. Now, what does your dog think you are?
That I am God.
And that you decide what he should do and how he should do it, when he should do it, where he should do it, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, this is the 99 trillion billion zillion dollar question. You get this right, and you got it made. Okay. Who is the master of our body? I haven't heard a word.
I.
Thank you.
I am.
My thoughts.
Ingeborg, I would hate to have you take the undergraduate course again. I'm afraid you might come up with a whole new set of phrases for it. Okay. So, I am the person my dog thinks I am, and I create my dog to think that I am God. I create everybody in my world to recognize that I am the master of myself. I am God. I create all my experiences to emulate the idea that I am master at all times, under all circumstances, under all conditions. You understand?
Yes.
Now, when am I not master of myself?
Always am I. I am.
I am never not master of myself. I'm always master of myself. Now, why does it appear that sometimes I'm not master of myself?
Because I put unbeneficial thought causes into motion.
Because I put a thought into motion that is not going to benefit me. And does a master ever put a thought in motion that doesn't benefit him? Sure. Does he know what he's doing? Yeah. Why does he do something that's like that? Because it's interesting. Why do some people die terrible deaths with pain and suffering, and other people just go, bip, pop off into the next dimension and be real easy about it? Why? Because that's what you feel you deserve. That's what you feel you need. You want to make your exit as I didn't really want to go. I don't want to die. I want to stay with you. And they're just dying to get away. They're just dying to leave that environment. You understand? And when they're dying to leave, I have such pain, you know, and I'm hurting so bad. They just want to really leave. They want to really leave. But they don't want to say out loud they want to leave. They don't want to say that out loud. Because if they say that out loud, you will think unkindly of them. You will think, you want to die? What's the matter with you? You're sick or something? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm done with this world. I'm ready for the next. So, whenever you make your decisions in life, don't tell anybody about them. If you're going to die, go ahead and die. But don't make a big show about it. If you're going to live, go ahead and live. Don't make a big show about it. Just be yourself. Have fun. Live for an infinity of time on this planet, if you wish. It'll be fascinating to watch this planet as it evolves and evolves. We have this 98-year-old lady that we were enjoying, and she's vital and alive and dynamic and clear in her mind and so forth. And she has a healthy body. And she looks back at her experiences. Yes, I remember that. I remember that, you know. I remember the early cars. I remember the early things. And what does she do? She still drives in a very lovely car because she has money and she can handle all these things. Her son and her grandsons and everybody else are doing quite well. And her world is just fine. And one day she dropped her diamond ring into the sink and it got caught in the drain. And she could call the plumber and the plumber would come over and get it out of the drain, but it was the weekend and she couldn't get the plumber on the weekend. So she called her son, who lived quite a distance away. And he came over, took off the drain, took out her ring, gave it to her, and she said, thank you. And then she said, well, I'd have to pay the plumber something, so here's $50. And he says, Mom, if you're going to do it right. If you called a plumber over here to do this, you'd pay $200 or better, you know. And you're giving me $50. What are you telling me, you know? What are you telling me? That I'm not worth what a good plumber gets? Well,
he said that. He said that.
He said that. And he said, but I'll come anyhow. But you see, this is what we forget. And you know what her problem was? Her problem was she hadn't hired a plumber recently. She's 98. The last time she hired a plumber was when she was 50. And when she was 50, the plumber was quite a bit less expensive, you know, and more available too, probably. But times change. Life goes on. Now, is she in charge of her body and her mind? Does she need to think of $200 plumbers or $50 plumbers? Does she need to think that her life is filled with unhappiness and losing things? No. She didn't lose anything. She knew right where it went. And she could have taken it off herself if she wanted to. But she likes to give her son the opportunity to do these things for her occasionally, you know. It makes her feel like she's contributing to their relationship. And she is. She is. You see, and she's going to live a long time, and she's going to live a happy time. And she's going to live in the idea that she's immortal. And when she is 90 and 100, that will be in 100 of this time, you know. And the changes that will be taking place are amazing. Is she rolling with it? Yes, she's rolling with it. Is she getting computers? Yes. Is she getting a lovely car that she has? Yes. Does she have a nice home? Yes. Does she have everything she wants? Yes. Is she able to take care of herself? Yes. Is she healthy? Yes. Is she a beautiful little lady? Yep. Dynamic, full of life, full of everything. I am the person my dog thinks I am. Well, who does her dog think she is? God. Is she acting like it? Yeah. Who does your dog think you are? Does your dog think you're God?
Yes.
Are you acting like it? Super. And you?
Yes.
And you?
Yes.
And you?
Yes.
Grazie. On that, we will say, I am the person my dog thinks I am, and I'm wonderful. I love you. I love you. I love you. Have a wonderful day.